Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your co-hosts, Kirk Smith, and this is another host,
Graham K.
I don't know why I said it so weird, Graham. How's beautiful
you're
New York?
And you're crazy.
I am fighting something. I've had a cold for like 3 days now, 3 or 4 days. Oh.
That Kirk just told me off air that he's got a role in a small film,
short film, yeah.
That he's doing after this today for a intense crazy guy, and this is the one time that the sickness has taken away his intense craziness.
I know the one
he's
time
all
like,
tired.
I'm all tired, worn out. I need my intense craziness. I'm totally fine. No, it's gonna be good. Crazy
usually
look.
You're just like, you know, slapping your own chest.
I'll amp it up for the role. It'll be good. Yeah. It's called acting. It'll be fine. Yeah, I play a guy who is crazy, but convinced that he's not crazy, and yeah, he's a little unstable. That's the role.
Very exciting.
So a lot of laughing at awkward moments and scaring people. Should be good. I'm excited. The rehearsals today and then the final shoots tomorrow. So should be good.
So what's what else is new with you? Yesterday was my birthday.
Hey, I didn't know that. We talked off air. You didn't mention it.
Well, I didn't. It's all over Facebook, Kirk. I mean, jeez.
I know. I got to get on Facebook more often. That's one of my biggest problems in my life right now. I am not on Facebook enough.
No, that's probably one of the best things in your life right now.
I was joking. Yeah, I'm giving up Facebook. I know I'm joking. Add us on Facebook, guys. What'd you do for your birthday?
Well, my roommate has the exact same birthday.
Really?
And
you have a split personality.
As well.
Be honest.
Pardon me?
Do you have a split personality?
Yeah,
you room with yourself?
Yeah. That's why I moved to New York, so I could be with myself.
You'd been perfect for this role I got.
But yeah, it's I don't know. I pampered myself. I went to I went up for breakfast, and then I got a haircut, and then I got a massage.
Ooh.
Yeah, Swedish massage.
Yeah.
You know, in honor of your son and the upcoming interview. We're interviewing a Swedish scientist.
I don't know if we've said this, guys. This is your comedian's guide to autism. I have a severely autistic son who's 18, and Graham's brother is autistic. Tell us about your brother Pete, Graham.
Pete is 33. I would say he's a 6 out of 10 on the spectrum. I just made that 1 to 10 ratio up. You get it.
I should say we are not scientists, just to be clear.
No, we're two morons.
Two idiots guide to autism. We thought about naming it that, but
no,
we thought people might misunderstand. Not that people on the internet misunderstand things. That'd be it'd be salacious for me to imply that. Yeah, so you had a Swedish massage. That's great. That's great. You guys went out. That's great. Had a little.
My brother.
Your brother.
My brother. He wrote. He wrote me an email, a birthday email. Hello, Graham, and I would like to wish you a very happy birthday from your great brother Peter. So I hope your great 36th birthday could still be able to go to write in the wonderful way for you. So even though I'm 36, I'll still be okay. I think.
That's great.
And this is the first year in a long time that I've gotten everything. His birthday is coming up in like 4 days. Not too far off. And I got him everything he needed for his birthday. Everything he asked for.
All Star Wars stuff?
All the Star Wars stuff. I found all 4 things on eBay. And, been in its package. One guy on the... if you're a new listener, for Christmas and his birthday, Peter wants a specific 25-year-old discontinued like Star Wars toys, and the only way I can find them is on eBay, and I buy them off these like nerds that have been keeping them in the package for 25 years.
And we say
and
nerds
then my brother gets them and rips them open immediately, and then starts playing with them. So I get like a message through eBay from the seller going, look, I'm really sorry to tell you, but the pictures I was using are old. They're like a couple years old, and the elastic the little like elastic band holding the figurine's arm in place to the cardboard box inside behind the plastic is disintegrated over time, and I'm so sorry. Is that okay? Because everything has to be perfect inside, right?
Right.
For these people. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. You are, I can't even, if I told you what was going to happen to that package.
You wouldn't sell it to me.
Upon delivery, you would not sell it to me. It is fine. So.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, if they only knew that all their effort went into making sure that Pete had a good package to just crush and throw directly in the trash can.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's great. That's great, man. Well, happy birthday, Graham. Send your birthday wishes to Graham on the old inner tubes, on the interwebs, Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can find him, Graham K. Comedy. And you can tweet at him too, Graham K. Comedy. We should. I think we should get to the interview because we've got a doozy this week. We've got a doozy,
in a good way, not a bad one. Set it up.
I was gonna say this is a series of interviews. Another one of our series of interviews. You know, we had with Jill Escher was in San Francisco to attend the International Meeting for Autism Research. 2,500 scientists, brainiacs. Get together to talk about what's happening, and we spread these interviews out a little bit because they're a little bit lengthy. And this is another interview that we're excited to bring you, and it's an interview of a very smart lady named Dr. Renee Gardner, who is conducting research in Sweden. Mm-hmm. And the Swedes are meticulous for their record keeping, as you might imagine. So I've heard that it's a good place to do research because everything's been documented. So if you want to know the statistics on something, they can tell you. Yeah.
She also, interesting thing about Swedes, and you'll notice, audience, they generally have no accent.
Oh, she's American. That's why. She's an American lady who moved to Sweden to do this research. But yes, she her accent in Swedish had a little bit of an accent, of an English accent. But yeah.
Okay. Just because I know from like being a Canadian and like all the hockey players.
But that's true. You're right.
After like 2 years, they speak perfect English.
Yeah.
Without an accent. It's crazy.
Well, they grew up watching American TV. And there's 9 million Swedes. So if you speak Swedish and you want to go anywhere, you need to learn something.
Yeah, well, if a Hungarian moves over here, they sound like a Hungarian forever. Or a Czech or a Slovak, you know.
That's true. That's true. I didn't think of that.
Swede, they'd have, for something about the accent, maybe it just adheres itself to English well. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's like in those countries, in Hungary and stuff, it seems like there's more of an interest in learning the languages that are close by. People learn German or people learn, but up in Sweden, they're like, nah, we're learning the English. They're like, we're not learning German. We like the Germans. We're not learning Finnish. That's not going to help us at all. And so, they went straight to English.
That makes sense.
Well, if a Swede and a French person talk, they're speaking in English. And if a Swede and a Hungarian person talk, they're speaking in English.
Absolutely.
So, but should we roll this interview?
That was off topic, but we all learned something. Let's do the interview.
I told you I'm sick, guys. Bear with me. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Roving reporter Jill Escher here, and I'm sitting here at IMFAR, the International Meeting for Autism Research, with a really cool researcher named Renee Gardner. And you won't believe where she's from, Kirk. She's from Sweden. So welcome, Dr. Gardner.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Gardner, tell us a little bit about autism in Sweden. You know, the listenership for this podcast is primarily those of us in the U.S., but we hear quite a bit about Sweden through Kirk's adventures and the adventures of his autistic son, JJ. Tell us a little bit about kind of, you know, the numbers in Sweden and a little bit about, since you're an epidemiologist, about, you know, what you see the data in Sweden and what it shows about autism and throughout the ages.
Well, really, when we do comparisons, I have a colleague who's done some really nice work that directly compared the numbers that we see in Sweden to the numbers that we see in the U.S. And when we compare, like the CDC often does for 8-year-olds, we see pretty much the exact same numbers. You know, the prevalence is climbing and climbing. There are a few differences. We don't see as big of a sex difference in Sweden, actually.
So explain. I think people don't know about difference generally.
So when a scientist says the sex difference, it sounds very sexy, I guess. But what it really means is that it's how many boys are diagnosed with autism versus how many girls. And when it starts off, when we're looking at, say, six-year-old boys versus six-year-old girls, we have a lot more boys than girls. Maybe, say, four boys have autism for every one girl that we find with autism. But when we get older, when we start looking at the teenagers, it starts to even out. Then it's only every two boys, say, for one girl with autism. And so a lot of people think that there's might be something interesting and biological to the reason why there might be more boys than girls. But in Sweden, where it's a little bit more maybe egalitarian, people have a little bit more access to healthcare in general, we see that once you get to this teenage level, it's getting to be more of the same in terms of the number of boys versus the number of girls with autism.
Just so people know, it's generally thought, at least here in the U.S., that the ratio is about four boys to one girl. You know, generally, and we see that in California. We're here in California right now. The California data certainly reflects that. So that's an interesting finding. But in my house, I have one severe boy with autism, one severe girl with autism. So it's 50-50.
I think it's just really interesting because it maybe shows that a little bit of that is how we look at children and what we expect from them
and how we define autism in the first place, which is a big subject here at the conference.
Yeah, a very interesting subject, I think. And I think that in Sweden, it's the same. It's a lot of the same trends in terms of how do you define autism, who gets the diagnosis, what does it mean. I'm not a clinician. I work with clinicians, and a lot of the focus is just really about getting people the sort of help they need.
Heard that, Kirk? It's about getting people the help they need. That's a big thing, a theme on Autastic, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I see patterns the same over here as what we see in Sweden, but really a lot of it is the focus in terms of, you know, how can we help people sort of have the lives they want to have, make the contributions, you know, that they can make to society. And so it's a lot of the focus is on that. But I am personally sort of sitting behind the computer or in the lab working with the data. So I have much more of the bird's eye view of this, but we do work with a lot of clinicians and try to keep the connection that way in terms of what do the numbers from this big bird's eye view mean.
Right.
Because when I say bird's eye view, it means that I'm looking at just the numbers of people with different diagnoses and what that means in terms of...
What are the implications for the services over their lifespan? What are the implications for, you know, the kind of treatment they need? What are the implications for supporting their families? And we have to start thinking about that because the prevalence is really, really rising. Mm-hmm. And it is scary to think about. Sorry to be scary on Autastic. We're not supposed to be scary.
Well, you know, I mean, it's trying to be pragmatic and make sure there's some more interesting research that'll be presented here on Saturday that has to do with some of the ramifications for kids coming out of Sweden and, you know, people in Sweden who are born with autism. And so part of what we do, a lot of what I do is looking at what was happening in life before the child was diagnosed. So what was happening during pregnancy? Did
you look for risk factors that can increase the risk of autism?
Exactly. Or protect and really try to get to the idea of, are these things really causing autism or not, as much as we can with the sort of data we have. But then a whole other half of our research group is looking at follow-up, the outcomes for people who have diagnoses of autism. And that's a really, really important part of what we do. And I feel like that's kind of an underdone thing in the field of autism.
Yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on diagnosis, a little bit of intervention, and then it's like you've forgotten. So
yeah, but yeah. Some interesting things that my colleagues are doing, looking at, you know, the school grades of kids with autism, and that's that's been an interesting and surprising thing, and actually goes a lot along with the research that I presented yesterday in terms of the when we're getting into the idea of is there a relationship between intelligence, between, you know, sort of how well people think, and in the family, and risk for autism. And what we see is for kids who get the help that they need in Sweden, it seems as if they actually they can do really, really well in school. But it's a problem because there's still a group of kids that it seems that we aren't reaching yet. For the ones we reach, it's you know, they sort of separate themselves out, and they actually are tending to do a little bit better than the rest.
So a different question. Yesterday you presented on kind of looking at autism with intellectual disability and autism without intellectual disability. Now, I have two kids with severe intellectual disability and autism, which is a very different animal than the autism traits without that. And what do you see any differences in your research between those two subgroups of autism?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And
research in terms of causation or how prevalent it is or outcomes?
Yeah, so the prevalence, so how many children are diagnosed with autism with intellectual disability, in Sweden that has stayed very, very steady. It's autism without intellectual disability that has increased over time. And so now, proportionally, we have of the children of autism
and
diagnoses.
Just to be clear, when you say without intellectual disability, does that mean like an IQ of 70 and above usually?
Yeah, it's here we're using the very clean, cold clinical, just this is a cutoff. They've been, all the children in Sweden who need habilitation services when they first enter into habilitation services and then throughout their lives, are they essentially given those services to help them have support in their life or whatever they need to do, and they are divided then. They're given the IQ test, they're divided in terms of at the moment when they come to services, do they have an IQ below 70, so then they have intellectual disability, or do they have an IQ above 70? And so that's just the way that the system has been sorting things. Mm-hmm. It helps us as epidemiologists when we're trying to take a look. And as my colleague Daraj was showing in his presentations yesterday, when we look at a lot of these risk factors, are certain things associated with autism or not, we do see differences when we examine the outcome of autism on the basis of is there also intellectual disability or isn't there? And so for the research that I was presenting yesterday, then we definitely saw differences. In that, we also saw differences as to whether the kids also had ADHD, so attention deficit or hyperactivity disorder. And so that's another thing that's becoming, I think, it's coming more into the light. We focused a lot on intellectual disability so far, but there's another group of kids out there. I don't think that we can really just separate it into these two distinct groups. It seems easy, but again, it's a spectrum, and there's, you know, a lot of kids with a lot of different needs, and we're trying to get at that with our research now.
Yeah, well, thank you for trying to get at the big differences in autism. We're used to that in the big world of autistic, and looking at the autism's distinct entities is really, really valuable. So we appreciate that. I'm going to sign off now because we're out of time, but I really appreciated your taking the time and flying out here to California from Sweden.
Thank you very much.
Okay. How do you say goodbye in Swedish?
Hej då.
I can't even try. Hej då. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that was it. What do you think, Graham?
I thought it was crap. No, it was awesome. It was awesome like always. Jill's awesome. Renee Gardner's awesome. It's just a real privilege to have people like that take the time and be on our show, honestly.
I thought it was very interesting. They talked about the no difference in sex in Sweden, whereas, you know, traditionally we've talked about this a few times on our podcast, that there's a big difference in the number of boys affected with autism versus girls. And we did an episode about whether that's because they're hiding it, whether women are able to mask it easier, or
more emotionally intelligent.
Right. And so they're able to learn these tells or these little tricks to pretend. And it made me think, though, Sweden's so far ahead on in women's rights and egalitarianism. Egalitarianism? What is that? What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, we should have named this Two Idiots Guide. But and they're more forward on this too. That there is the numbers of men and women affected by autism are very close and very similar. I thought it was very interesting.
It's still like 1 to 2 though. She said it levels off from 4 to 1 to 1. It's still like double.
Still though, still from 1 to 4 to 2. I mean, 1 to 4 to 1 to 2 is a huge difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. And they talked about the very clear distinction between people that just have autism and the people that have autism and are also affected with something else, like my son, like Jill's son, or Jill's daughter. And I thought that was very interesting to make that clear delineation. Because it's they need different care, different help, and different everything.
Mm-hmm. And I like that she's working on the risk factors. That is. Something we don't talk about enough.
Yep.
And it's just interesting that there is still sort of a link between intelligence in their parents, and that once they catch it early, which is so interesting, is that a lot of these people with autism can get better grades than their contemporaries without autism.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting. Amazing. And when Jill was talking about we don't cover scary in this podcast. I'm sorry. I should cut that out.
As I die.
Don't be scared, people. I immediately hear the death rattle coming from me.
I'll just sign off. Well, Kirk's dead. That's another episode.
Start the cheery music at the end. Kirk's dead. Ding dong, Kirk is dead. The information can be alarming, but I don't think it's a reason to be scared of it. It's just information, and then we have the opportunity to take action and do something. So it's that's why I think it's not scary. It's just, information is just information. So no reason to be.
Well, I think we did it.
Yes.
We did do it. Like us on Facebook as always. We have an Autastic page on Facebook. Also, you can tweet at us, Autastic Podcast. And also, if you haven't donated and you feel like you can, $1 per week at patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic. You guys are the best. I'm at Graham K. Comedy on all the social mediums. And that is Kirk Smith.
Yes.
Comedy,
please.
At Kirk Smith Comedy. What's that, Kirk? You go ahead.
I was going to say, please just take a second and review us on iTunes or wherever you do your reviews for a chance to win that free book. Free book this summer. We're collecting all the reviews that you can of the podcast. It really helps us. It's some sort of math metric that Apple uses. I don't understand. I'm not from the future. But
or the present.
It helps us.
From the past.
I'm from the way past.
Yeah.
But we really appreciate it, guys. And be encouraged. Have a great week. You can do it.